Good evening. It is 7 p.m. Tuesday, February 27, 2024, and I call the Wrangell Assembly to order. The Pledge of Allegiance tonight will be led by Assemblymember Dalrymple.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Yes, Assemblymembers Robbins, Morrison,
here.
Otteson, Dalrymple,
here.
Powell,
here.
DeBoer, and Mayor Gumbert,
here. We have no ceremonial matters, so item three, persons to be heard. No persons to be heard. Item four, amendments to the agenda. Do I hear any amendments? Hearing none, conflict of interest. Any assembly member have any conflict? Hearing none, consent agenda.
Move to approve the consent agenda as submitted.
Second.
Okay, motion by Morrison, second by Powell. There's three items. Any discussion, assembly? Okay, hearing none, poll vote, please.
Yes, Assemblymember Morrison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Borough Manager's Report.
All right, thank you, Madam Mayor. It's been a productive few months. We've had a lot of irons in the fire and really appreciate all the work the directors have been putting in as of late, as well as all city staff. Quite frequently on the weekends, I see the directors working on Saturdays and Sundays and putting in that overtime because we got a lot of initiatives at the forefront. So thank you. One of the events we had this last Saturday on February 24th was the Wrangell HomeWise Information Fair. And I know that the mayor and I both attended, really exceptionally well attended. I think we had about 70, both virtually and physically present as a result of the HomeWise Fair. And that was particularly a process where the process for sale was delivered for the Aldertop properties, the 20 lots that we will be either lottering or public surplusing. So I'd really like to thank Kate Thomas, our Economic Development Director, and Matt Henson for all their work that they put together for the HomeWise Fair, as well as all the vendors,
and Amber
as well, and all the borough staff that contributed. But I really thank everybody that came to town as well and took their own time to come up to be a part of that. So I know a lot of people flew in. So thank you, and we're excited to move that process forward. Internally, we'll be working to finalize some covenants and firm up the process for sale and bring the non-codified ordinance and resolution for the sales for the lottery and the public surplus, respectively. So looking forward to that.
A lot of good questions from the public.
Yep.
A
lot of great questions from the public, particularly around wetland mitigation was a big one, and wastewater management. And so we have some things to talk about internally, and we're really excited to clean things up and get rolling for a sale in May and June. So in terms of state and federal priorities, I know that Amber's been working really hard to get our CDS requests submitted. We already have submitted our CAPSIS submissions, so that's our state capital requests. Just for reference, we have the dam stabilization and improvements for $5 million. That's a FY24 capital budget supplemental that we anticipate on getting. And me and Patty, Mayor Gilbert, visited the governor and staff to continue to lobby for that, as well as our state delegation. So we feel really confident in that one. We have a $6.5 million public safety building rehab request, wastewater treatment upgrades to address disinfection of $14 million. East Channel Emergency Access Road planning funding in the amount of $500,000, and Inner Harbor replacement of $12 million. And I also will provide the details of those CAPSIS submissions so you can actually read the details submittal in this published report on the website. So you get that. For CDS requests, we plan on submitting the public safety building as well, $5 million, $5.5 million, wastewater treatment upgrades for the amount of $12 million, Eastern Channel Emergency Access Road for $7.5 million, Inner Harbor replacement for $9 million, and Zamovia Highway Sewer System upgrades for $2.5 million. So we've been working with Murkowski and Pelotola staff to establish kind of a strategic plan, what projects are likely to get through the appropriation process, which amounts make sense for them. What's, you know, if we put in a $5 million, are we gonna get $5 million versus if we ask for $10 million, those kind of things. So trying to iron those things out. And I know Amber's almost done with submitting the last project, so continue to push those forward. So we have a lot of different requests out, and we also just today got word that we submitted our RAISE grant application for the Wrangell Harbor Basin project, a $25 million grant submission, a lot of hours worked. I mentioned in the WCA work session that over 500 hours were pooled together between RABE, consultants, borough staff, our very own ace in the hole, Carol Rushmore. So really appreciate all the work that everybody put into getting that across the finish line. So cross your fingers, because June 27th, I think, is the date that we'll find out if we get it. Third time's a charm is what we're saying. So hopefully that'll go a long way. So excited to see that. So a lot of requests out there, and hopefully a couple of those hit along the way. The mill property, we continue to develop a short-term plan for making that property productive. We're working on a lease agreement with Mr. Townsgaard on a longer-term arrangement, a five-year lease for 6 acres, and to conduct his construction and scrap and recycling business here. We think there's a lot of synergies between the borough and his operations, so we're going to play off of that, and we welcome a business that's expanding into town. So we'll be send that over to the commissions and bring it to the assembly here in the next few months. So just an update on that. And then we'll continue to develop a forestry management plan and pursue a joint timber harvest effort with the state. That's something that we're going to continue to work on. It's a long process to get there, so we're going to start now. But as I mentioned in the last borough manager's report, the state is pursuing logging in the Earl West area in 2025 and 2026. So let's play off of that. Let's try to build up some reserves off of that for future capital investment. So very exciting. Old Hospital, on Friday, we reached the purchase and sale agreement whereby the prospective buyer has signed a $200,000 consideration for the Old Hospital, as well as conditioned on the six adjacent lots that are on the south side of the Old Hospital. So that's really exciting, really critical milestone in the process. And I know that Planning and Zoning has already recommended to approve a six adjacent lot sale, and we will be pushing the old medical center to Planning and Zoning and EDB in the coming months. So I actually have a schedule. There's two distinct processes, but they're dependent on each other. So that's really clear in the agreement and in the six adjacent lots conveyance. But purchase and sale agreement was signed on 2/23 for the Old Hospital. Public notice went out yesterday. Economic Development Board will see this on March 5th, and then Planning and Zoning on March 14th, and there'll be a public hearing notice, and then assembly approval of sale and conveyance, ideally on April 9th. So pretty short timeline, really. And for the six adjacent lots, Planning and Zoning recommended on the 15th of February to approve it, and then assembly approval to move forward with the sale will happen this next meeting on March 12th. There'll be a 4-week public notice period, and then an assembly approval and sale and conveyance on April 9th as well. So pretty exciting. I think it's in the best interest of the borough, the deal that we've arranged. Certainly there's plans to develop the property. Demolition is the answer, I think. And so they'll be demoing the old hospital and conducting some construction for housing units. So really excited about that potential. And this prospective buyer's got a lot of proven history and a good portfolio in doing that kind of work. So we feel confident, and we think that's the best path forward. So, and we'll get rid of spending $120,000 a year on an old hospital. So very exciting. We're going to be meeting with our local processors. I know I've received a lot of concerns from local fishermen about not having markets here in town. I know that's been an industry-wide thing across the state. And so working to find some solutions with all our processors here in town, and as well as talk about things like safety and water and everything we can do to make their stay here comfortable and working around Wrangell easier. So we'll be conducting that here soon. Just wanted to throw that out there. Water treatment plant continues to be constructed. I actually visited up there with Public Works Director Weider this last week. Pretty cool to see foundations start to be poured. And all the groundwork that's actually happened. If you're driving the road up there, there's actually been a ton of work on the road there. The old road's kind of moved off to the side now, so pretty exciting to see that project coming to light. We also have had a leak in our old water treatment plant, and rather than looking at a drawing, I had Tom take me up there and kind of understand where it's coming from. So we've been investigating a leak. We don't understand how much is actually leaking. in the facility. We're going to be constructing a weir to understand how much water is actually leaking out of the facility. But we believe it's between filter bay 3 and 4. And if you're looking at the water treatment plant from the road, there it goes 4, 3, and then the clear well. So we're hopeful that this camera that we hopefully approve tonight might help us in that pursuit. But nothing dramatic, but we want to stay on top of it and conserve as much water as we can. So as a borough, I mean, we're not saying to do any notices or anything like that, but we want to do our best to solve that leak. So I'll keep everybody updated on that. And budget, bonding, and strategic plan. So the budget workbook was sent to staff yesterday. The general fund departments got the go-ahead to start budgeting, and the special revenue funds can start today, and then enterprise funds later this week. So we will be continuing that process, and I have a budget calendar in this report that you guys can review. We had our strategic planning meeting this last month, and it was really, really effective, I think. And so that process will be lined up and mirrored up with our budget. And so we want to make sure that we're budgeting things that make sense towards our strategy. And so if they don't align perfectly, then we're doing things wrong. And so we want to make sure we do that. And then we're going to try to put some bonds on the ballot this year. We want to get in the habit of bonding for some road projects and some of the wants, and just get a pulse from the voters and what they want. I know there's been a lot of talk about parks and roads and other things that have been kind of out of the reach of our typical operating and capital budget. And so we want to kind of get a pulse from voters on what their priorities are. So I think that's the best way to do that. So we may do some surveys and try to get a pulse from the community on what they'd like to see, and as well as maybe have a work session to discuss possible bonding prospects. So emergency operations plan, Mayor Gilbert had said in December, I believe, that she wanted an update on the second meeting of February for the emergency operations plan. And we've done some work on it. It's a 200-page document. It's a long, long document. And unless we contract it out, it's, you know, I'm hopeful that I can get it done by the end of the fiscal year is my plan. In the EOP, there'll be several community partners ingrained into that. We'll have all our seafood processors, the animal shelter, the Forest Service, WCA. But it does take some time. It is a very detailed document. So, you know, if the assembly would like it sooner, I'd probably have to get some contracted help. If you're okay with the pace of 6:30, 2024, then continue to work on that track. But do you guys kind of have a preference on that?
Yeah. We have the old document that we can still operate off of, so
yeah,
we
yeah,
can
we
assure
still, yeah.
the public. But this robust plan
mm-hmm.
will incorporate everyone,
it will.
Essentially, in the community. I want to see more promotion on Nixle and see if we can get that up to 100%. And it would, along with that, it might be a good idea to alert the public that having a battery-powered radio or some sort of device would be a good thing. And we've made arrangements with KSTK if broadcasting station is compromised, we can get radio in a box, essentially, flowing over here. So we have communication ability, but the public has to be tuned in to Nixle or have that option of battery-powered radios.
Yeah, well, I just took some notes there.
So I would suggest you just keep marching forward, because you're also going to incorporate hazard mitigation, which is, it took a lot of time to get that accomplished, and that's expiring, isn't it?
In 2025, in June of 2025.
Yeah, that'll dovetail nicely.
Yeah, so this is kind of the calm before the storm, or the storm before the calm, whatever you want to call it, because we have a lot of things to address in a budget cycle and a strategic plan and EOP and rates and taxes and assessments, and all this stuff is going to be hitting us pretty soon. So don't take tonight's agenda as we're not doing anything. We're quite busy, quite the opposite. So also like to comment, we had a really productive cooperative association, Rainbow Cooperative Association joint meeting with our assembly, and kind of articulating some of the priorities that we're going to be pursuing under a work plan, established work plan, and the routine meetings of both these entities, and see what we can accomplish for the good of the community. So I appreciate WCA coming and joining us tonight prior to this meeting. Also like to remind the public that the senior and veteran exemption for property taxes is due on March 1st. We went to the library today to help seniors. Fill out their applications. There wasn't a whole lot of people, I think, due to the weather, but know that if you go to the library, Sarah Scambler's trained up on how to get people through the application process and also down here at City Hall. So we're happy to help folks get that done before March 1st. And as well as our volunteer firemen, there's $10,000 off assessed value for property taxes. We put that into code last year, and so we're excited to honor that commitment. We'll follow up with the fire chief to make sure everybody on the roster is covered before that deadline. So really exciting.
And for the public, they once they apply for the exemption, they don't have to reapply every year.
Yep, that's correct. So once you hit the 65 mark, the coveted 65 mark, you get your $150,000 off assessed value. Only have to apply once. And once one property, one primary residence per household. So, what did you say, Dave?
What are you looking at me for? I got 5 years.
Would also like to share some really, really great news on a grant prospect that we applied for this last year. The borough was awarded, as of today, $694,000 for the middle school roof repair project through the CDBG grant. I'd really like to thank Amber Aladad for working really hard on that project and getting that grant submitted. So we got the letter from Julie Sandy today, DCCD commissioner, that we got that funding. That'll be coupled with our $3.5 million for the high school, middle school construction bonds. And so those have been invested this whole time, too. So we've got $167,000, about 5%, over the last year on those bonds. So now we have total project funding for the high school, middle school construction project of $4.361 million. And that's really exciting. And those bonds will continue to be reinvested up till the point of construction. But Amber and I will be evaluating potential construction activities this summer, and balancing that with a deed CIP major maintenance request that's out there too. And remember, we're number 16 on the list. Dan Ortez says it's likely, says if he was a betting man, it would get through. I don't feel so optimistic, but in the perfect world, we'd have quite a bit of money to address some deferred maintenance that hasn't happened for quite some time. And the building alone hasn't been painted since 2007. So it's time to do some maintenance on that facility, and we're excited to get to work.
Madam Mayor.
Yes.
If I could to ask the borough manager, what was the bond that was approved a few years ago? How much was that?
Yeah, in 2023, February 2023, $3.5 million.
Okay, 3.5, thank you.
Yeah.
And what's the total cost of that of the projects that need to be done there?
Well, I know that Josh Flashley had a cost estimate for all the Wrangell schools at $40 million at one point. For the project that we were undertaking, it was a $10 million project.
That's right.
And so the deed CIP major maintenance grant program requires a 35% match. That was the rationale for doing a $3.5 million bond. Of course, at that time, we weren't anticipating getting the CDBG grant either, so we have a little bit more money coming into this thing than we anticipated, which is really exciting, and hopefully go a little bit further. And also, you know, when we think about the synergies of doing a roof project like that, we may look at some of our other borough facilities while we have a contractor in town and try to you know, it's more efficient to do things at once when they've already mobilized here, so we don't want to have to bring somebody back 2 years later and pay the mobilization costs and economies of scales with materials. So very excited to get that thing, and thank you again, Amber. And then last thing, we're going to plan on bringing an ordinance to the Assembly to change the date at which we address fee and rates each year. Previously, it's the first month in March, but we find that that's too early in the process, because a lot of times, especially this year with union negotiations, we need to kind of figure out a little bit more where we're at with the budget before we can truly assess what our cost of business is and therefore assess rates appropriately and fees. So we'll be changing that and bringing that to the Assembly moving forward. And that's about it for this time around. Oh, actually, we'll be changing the way we do some of these reports. Half the directors will submit written reports with the same format as mine on the March 12th meeting, and then half the other directors will submit on the fourth Tuesday of each month. So we'll split them up each month, 6 and 5. And so you can look forward to department reports. I tend to try to report on things that I'm working on and I don't want, you know, always articulate all the great work that the directors are doing. So I want to make sure that things don't get missed, and it's something they can kind of tout what they're doing and share that with the community. So we'll be offering that change moving forward, and happy to answer any questions.
And accounts receivable every month?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any questions on manager's report? Okay. Hearing none. Infrastructure report?
Thank you. Jason's already reported on some of these, so I'll try to remember which ones he did and not repeat that. And I do believe I've probably reported a couple of these projects that we have completed, but I'm going to say it one more time and then I'll eliminate it from my reporting schedule. But the high school and middle school fire alarm system replacement project that was funded in part by the CDBG, as well as the rec center HVAC and the DDC upgrades funded in whole by the CDBG. Those two projects are complete, and we're just really working with the contractors to do the closeout work and then close out those grants. So the work is complete and everything seems to be working great in both of them, and we're happy to have that infrastructure, those infrastructure repairs complete. The swimming pool siding also, I've reported, the siding is complete. However, those panels for the columns, we're expecting in the spring. We've got an April indication for their arrival in Wrangell. Once those panels come in, the contractor will remove to the site and finish up that project. Aldertop Village, the subdivision site project that we have ongoing right now. You all have probably seen that that work stopped around the end of November, beginning of December. We had some weather that was creating a problem. It was eroding ditches, ditch embankments. We saw the downing of some trees. And with the continued bad weather, we asked the contractor to stop as long as there wasn't going to be any impacts to them with that closure, winter closure. So we went out to the site last week after I returned and walked the site again to see what the condition was. There are some very large trees that came down during the early February storm that I understand we had here while I was gone. So we'll have to address that. There's been some more eroding, and we need to probably get our engineer to come in and look at that. We're probably going to, I think the ditches were designed too steep. We had already talked about that when we did a change order for some of the additional rock already. I mentioned that to you all. I think there's one area in particular I think we need to probably cut the bank back a little bit more and take down some trees. So we're going to be looking at that with the contractor and engineer to make sure we've got a good base for that site moving forward into the next phase of the project, which will be the roads and utilities. We're working on wrapping up that design with the engineer right now and trying to get that out in the next week, out to bid. Ports and Harbor, the security system. That contractor began work in January. They're making great progress, and the work is scheduled to run through early April. So they're moving through pretty well. Steve Miller is a construction manager for that project, and I'm happy to have his help in that regard. The non-motorized transportation system, that's the Mount Dewey Trail extension. Same contractor who's doing the Aldertop. They've just been hit with weather. You know, they started that project in early December, trying to move it forward as they can as the weather allows. So they've made quite a bit of progress. They've got the trailhead parking lot, the base established, and they're into the trail by about 600 feet now. So making good progress, and then our snow came again. So they had to stop work on that yesterday or today. The water treatment plant, Mason let you know, we completed the rock excavation and the blasting. We've moved into constructing those footings for the building, which is expected to be in Wrangell towards the end of March. And then we'll start to see that building being erected. I may have mentioned this before, too, but on that, you all may remember, we had a September 25 deadline on our EDA and USDA grants. We have requested a nine-month extension on those two grants, primarily through EDA initially. USDA said if EDA grants you the extension, we will also grant you the extension. EDA has granted it verbally. We're waiting on the amendment to come forward with that. The same amendment includes our $2.1 million extra grant for the grant funding for the project. There's been some holdup with federal funding just to make that commitment happen. So we're in a holding pattern, but that's coming our way. Some good news there. And the public safety building, we're still working with our A&E team to complete that preliminary architectural report. They are quite mostly done. They're just waiting on a little bit of information from us that we are looking for the time to develop and submit to them. And then we'll have that project report complete, and that will make us eligible to submit an application to the USDA Community Facilities Grant Program. That program is a loan and grant combination underwriting effort from them. If you are a community of 5,000 and less, they will consider you for, I think, up to 75% grant. So we'll see if that pans out for us, if other state or federal funding requests don't come our way for that, or it could be a combination of a couple of different funding for that project as we move forward. And then back to the harbors, we have the Wrangell Harbor anodes. We are waiting on all of the anodes to arrive before the contractor mobilizes to Wrangell to start that work. The last of the anode shipment is supposed to be here by the end of March, and then we'll see the construction work of that project begin. And then we have four projects that are moving into the bidding phase. I am currently working on the City Park Pavilion replacement. That's the park pavilion that was damaged by the windstorm in 21, as well as a high school elevator modernization. Those two projects should be on the street here in the next couple of weeks. And then the Nolan Center standby generator upgrades and the loading dock are in the works as well, and so they'll follow. They'll be staggered a little bit just as far as the release of those competitive construction solicitations. So those are exciting to be able to actually have some time to move those forward. And then projects and planning, we did talk to, actually Mason was in Juneau and had a chance to talk to DOT about a couple of things, and one of them was that airport generator project. DOT took it upon themselves to agree to resubmit that FAA application. Which is kind of the holdup on that project. I think they may have committed to providing some additional funding beyond what they already committed if we see cost overruns for that project. So that would be great. And then also in planning is, or design, is the Myers-Chuck Harbor replacement. We're expecting to receive the first procurement documents for the floats procurement by the end of March. Once we get that procurement, what we have agreed with DOT for the Harbor Matching Grant Program is that they do things a little bit differently. They don't award you the project initially. They actually ask you, they say, you've been awarded X amount of dollars, proceed with your work. You submit the bids, you receive the bids, you submit the solicitation, receive your bids, and based on the bids, they grant the amount of money that's needed. We are approaching this project in a two-phase approach. We'll be doing the float procurement from a manufacturing company. We'll receive those floats here in Wrangell. The harbor staff will use force account labor to install the decking that we'll purchase under a separate procurement solicitation. They'll install that, and then we will issue a separate procurement for the construction and placement of those floats. So the contractor who wins that award will take those floats that have been finalized here in Wrangell, haul those down to Myers-Chuck, and install those along with the new pilings and the entire system. So that's our approach there, and it'll be a two-phase approach with DOT as far as grant awards. So you'll see those coming to you in that two-phase approach as well, just to give you an idea of what to expect there. End of March, we'll have the drawing, so we'll go out to bid immediately, so you should see that by the end of April, beginning of May, and then the second solicitation is expected in early summer to move forward with that second one. So, and then project seeking funding, Mason let you know about the school renovation, the good news we've got today, and I'll be meeting with the school this week to start developing a project to fit that scope of funding that we have, $4.3 million. And then the Harbor Wrangell Basin, again, the $28 million project that was submitted today. Huge thanks to Carol Rushmore, our grant writing consultant, and all of our staff and our P&D engineers who helped us get there. So That's all I have. Any questions?
Assemblymember Morrison.
The Inner Harbor, the $28 million, that takes into account all three of those harbors, right?
Correct. Reliance, Inner Harbor, and Standard Oil.
And the Inner Harbor by itself is?
About 12 million.
12, 13 million.
And that's the one you would, if you didn't get funding, that's the one you'd go try to get done first?
We would put together a phased approach for the construction of those three facilities. We are also submitting, Mason, I think, described, we're submitting the Inner Harbor facility project only to CDS, Congressional Appropriations, as well as we submitted to the state legislature just an Inner Harbor project and requested funding for that.
Assemblymember Dalrymple.
I didn't understand what you just said there, Amber. Can you say it one more time without the acronyms or something? I got lost.
The last piece about Inner Harbor?
Yeah.
Yes, let me think of what I said. I think what I said was we've submitted an Inner Harbor funding request to the state legislature requesting $12 or $13 million just for Inner Harbor itself, not for the full Wrangell Harbor Basin, which is what we submitted to the RAISE grant program.
This is outside of the RAISE?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, and then additionally, a third request to Congress for congressional appropriations for Inner Harbor only. Outside of RAISE, yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah, we have kind of a multifaceted approach. We got backup on backup plans, so we got the RAISE grant. If we're unsuccessful there, hopefully our CDS request comes through. If CDS request doesn't come through, maybe we consider a bond and go after the Harbor Matching Program when we're eligible again. And I know that there's a movement in the legislature right now to expand upon that program from $5 million to $7.5 million as an eligible match. So we're trying a bunch of different approaches to get this project funded, and I think that just speaks to the creativity of the staff. So
what happens if they all come in?
Then we're going to have a really big, beautiful harbor.
We'll get to send some of it back, actually, for someone else to use.
Gold-plated anodes.
And just to kind of recap, I mean, it's pretty amazing what we have slated for this time. We got a water treatment plant under construction. We got a high school elevator that's going to get done. We got a loading dock project, and Mount Tyre is moving out to the mill to get sheared, thanks to Shorty, second week of March. We have the City Park Pavilion that's going to go out to bid. We got the anode project that's going to be done in the springtime.
Security cameras.
We got the City Park fire pit that's going to be done by April 30th. We got the contractors out there to look at it. We have a McKinnon Road project being planned right now and working to outsource that function rather than doing it internally. We have an old hospital that's getting sold, ideally, and we're working through that process. We got Triad Seafoods moving here. I got a meeting with Alaska Marine Lines on Friday this week, going down to Seattle to talk about barge yard and ramp solutions in the long term. We're going to get a productive mill property. I mean, what more could we ask for? We got a lot going on.
Wrangell's open for business.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Good.
Very good.
Very good.
Very good report.
Yep.
And I helped you box the
you did.
Community development block grant.
It was your effort that got us there. Thank you.
And, well, we were afraid the box wasn't large enough because to get that grant, it took a tremendous amount of work and paper. It was really impressive. Did you have a question, Assemblymember Powell?
Transfer facility. Where are we at with that?
The loading dock.
That's the loading dock.
Yeah. That one will be out soon.
Okay.
Yeah. We were waiting on a solution for the tires. Really, now that we have one, we can move forward and finish that up.
Good.
Yeah. Awesome.
Gonna kind of miss Mount Tyre.
Retire.
Yeah, retire Mount Tyre.
It's definitely gonna look different out there when this project's done.
Yep.
Yeah.
It certainly will.
Tom's not gonna miss it.
No.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Best part of the assembly meeting. Okay, Borough's clerk report.
Exactly. So I can't beat that at all. Just a couple of things you'll notice on the schedule. The work session that was scheduled with Sea Alaska has been canceled. I believe that they will not have their board here to be able to do that work session. I'm sure they're going to come back. We'll go ahead and schedule it. So stay tuned for that. This last Saturday, as I said in my report, I attended a public forum up at one of the churches here to talk to people about cemetery very well attended, really good questions, and they had the Ketchikan Mortuary came and spoke before me, and yeah, it was really good. So they were really not excited, but they were happy to hear about the cemetery expansion project happening and the new columbarium, and I kind of gave them direction on, you know, if they wanted to reserve anything or do the memorial. There's quite a few people that just want to do a memorial and take care of the ashes of their loved ones elsewhere. So I'm really excited about that. And then for manager resumes, we are advertising. We received, I received an inquiry, not a resume, and then I received another resume, which I sent on to assembly members Powell and Dalrymple for them to review. And then also, this is more so for the listening public, because I sent out an email with regard to the ordinance for assembly compensation that was pulled. Because in our charter it states that the assembly cannot receive compensation. So in order for that to even be considered, or it has to go to a vote of the people. So that was pulled. And there's no, there's nothing that the assembly has to do on that one at this time. So, and then in the next couple of months, probably in April and May, I'll send out an email to the assembly and say, you know, is there anything you're wanting to see on the ballot, any kind of initiatives that you want brought forward, and if you wanted something like that, then just let me know, and then we could put the ordinance together and bring it to the assembly for them to approve to go onto the ballot, but it would look different because it would be an initiative for the people. So, and I believe, yeah, that's it. That's all I got.
All right. Any questions, Assembly? All right. Moving right along, Mayor and Assembly business. Any Assembly member have anything to report? Assembly Member Powell?
On the Assembly business, I would like to have a meeting with our manager. I believe it was me and Bob that did the contract, the manager and the borough clerk. And I'd like to know if that would be okay for us, me and Bob, to meet with him again and discuss that.
Because
it's coming up on March, and I think we were supposed to discuss it in March. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, I think so.
The current contract.
Yeah, if it's okay with the assembly, I would like to schedule a meeting with them to discuss it.
Okay.
For the current contract for interim.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
For the interim status. Yes. And when do you want that scheduled? The end of?
I would say when Mason gets back from his trip, we'll schedule a meeting.
Okay.
In March, basically.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Does any assembly member have any objection? So you two and assembly member Dalrymple and Powell meet with the borough manager and borough clerk.
Yep.
Okay. All right, any other business? All right, hearing none. Assembly appointments. We do have an applicant for the position on Parks and Rec Board. And with the assembly approval, I'd like to appoint Lauren Cook to fill that vacancy until October 2025. Any objection? All right, hearing none. So appointed. All right, public hearing. We have three items on public hearing tonight. 11A, ordinance number 1050 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, adding section 14.09.042, use of port and harbor dumpsters in chapter 14.09, prohibited practices in the Wrangell Municipal Code. I'm going to open up the public hearing and have an administrative report, please.
Yep, so this is the second reading and adoption of Ordinance 1050, which provides provisions and inserts them into the code for proper and improper uses of the Port and Harbor dumpsters, which is being aligned with the Port and Harbor security camera project. So just bringing that to light, just a reminder that Port and Harbor dumpsters are only to be utilized by those people utilizing that facility. Household garbage not to be thrown in there, and oil and fuel filters and those types of things. So
cars.
We've had a car before, so trying to eliminate those type of things and prevent that practice.
All right.
You have to admit that was innovative.
I'd like to have seen that. All right, and then public hearing. I don't believe we have anyone for public hearing. I'm going to close the public hearing and entertain a motion.
Move to approve ordinance number 1050.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Morrison. Any discussion? Assemblymember Morrison.
Just for consideration, say somebody does have a boat in the harbor, has a slip. Can they, because they are a harbor user, can they bring their household?
Yes.
Their household stuff from home and put it in the harbor dumpster?
No.
Okay, that's someone asked me.
Vessel household garbage, but not... Yeah, not your residential.
Right, okay. That's
good question.
Well, and if you're my friend, even if you miss the garbage pickup, you still cannot use the harbor dumpster.
Right. Okay. No, just use your neighbor's trash can.
Yes.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. I've had that question.
Uh-huh. Me too.
All right. Any other comments? All right. Poll vote, please.
Yes. Assemblymember Morrison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item B, ordinance number 1051 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending the minor offense fine schedule in Chapter 1.20, General Penalty of the Wrangell Municipal Code. I'm going to open up the public hearing and ask for administrative report, please.
Yep, so ordinance 1051, this just establishes a $150 penalty on the minor offense schedule in conjunction with the illegal use of, improper use of harbor dumpster facilities.
All right, and public hearing, no one here to testify. Going to close the public hearing, entertain a motion.
Move to approve ordinance number 1051.
Second.
All right, motion by Powell, second by Morrison. Any discussion? This will be added to our fine schedule if it passes. All right, hearing none, poll vote, please.
Yes. Assemblymembers Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Motion passes. Item C, request for the sale exchange of borough-owned real property described as a portion of Parcel 7, ASLS 84-83, zoned commercial, adjacent to the Torkumson-Glasner subdivision, based on the requesting purchaser granting a utility easement acquisition on real property for the purpose of demonstrating borough site control for the water treatment plant improvement project. Going to open this up to the public hearing with an administrative report, please.
Yeah, Madam Mayor, is it okay if I read a letter from Don Glasner? I think it sums it up quite well, so I'll just kind of deviate a little bit.
And this is, and for the public, will you explain who Don Glasner is?
Mr. Glasner is the current property owner at which the water main for the water backflow discharge line with no recorded easement went through his property, and we realized that as we were garnering up all our funding, federal and state funding, for the water treatment plant project. We have to demonstrate site control before any federal dollars can be spent, and Mr. Glasner was gracious enough to provide that easement in advance of any other consideration. And so we have a recorded easement for his property existing, but out of good faith and negotiation, we brought forward a potential for a land exchange rather than just payment of the easement. And so I think this letter kind of sums it up nicely, so I'll go ahead and just read it really quick. February 26, 2024, Mr. Blarma, Mayor and Council members, I'm reaching out to the Mayor and Council to consider selling 235-foot wide and 125-foot long of raw land that backs my rear property located at 1068 Zamovia Highway. The Council had discussions regarding my offer to purchase at the January meeting and mutually agreed my offer was too low as per a Council member discussion that evening. In December 2023, on the 18th of the month, Planning and Zoning Commission voted to approve the sale of this land bordering my property to myself. Planning and Zoning recognized my willingness to acknowledging the borough water main pipe running through my property was legally not recognized as a city easement at 10 feet width. The plat of my property owned showed a solid dark line of approximate water pipe location. The plat did not say borough easement, therefore years back, the survey work was lacking accurate information on details of the property. Early fall of 2023, I was contacted and informed that the city had applied for a grant for water treatment facility upgrades. From what I understand, the grant was approved with the exception and acknowledgement of any property owners that had city utilities that are privately owned and not city-owned property be recognized as the city and borough easement on the plat surveys. In good faith, I offered to deed over the pipeline on my property and have it recognized formally as an easement. I Federal Express mail at my own expense documents back to Wrangell City Hall because the city was down to a deadline a few days to get this grant approved and finalized. Through all the discussions starting in September 2023, I was never offered payment for footage of the easement. It wasn't until in late December I was offered payment for the easement strip of land. Apparently, other property owners several months prior were compensated for their footage of pipeline, and I also assume survey work was lacking detail and accuracy. I also assume this is how the footage compensation price value was determined via other property owners. To sum up, I thought it was the fairest way to come to a revised offer price. I've said from day one, not all properties are of equal value. I'm sure you would agree that 1 acre of oceanfront property is not valued equally as 1 acre of land blocked away from the ocean and no ocean views. I feel if my land is appraised at land value with no improvements each year for real estate tax purposes and paid to the city of Wrangell, this formula would be an accurate way to value this parcel I'd like to purchase from the city. My land tax comes in at about $1 and several pennies per square foot. I've revised my offer for the 235-foot by 125-foot parcel adjacent to my existing property to $1. I'm also factoring the credit I would have that I was offered for the easement that's flowing through his existing. Factoring all the above, I come to about $26,150 for the purchase price. I would hope and appreciate the mayor and council members would vote to accept this offer. So that's summing up kind of the circumstances, and that's Don Glasner's request. So out of good faith, we're bringing this forward to the borough. I've had several conversations with you guys individually about this. I do believe it's in the best interest. This was of the borough. By and large, it's a property that doesn't have any access except for Mr. Glasner's property. He provided us an easement at a critical time of need that could have stalled up our federal funding. And I think there's also benefits to selling that property and get it on our property tax rolls. It's about $3,000 additional every year we get at the current sale price. And I think it makes good on our commitment. And when we're in a time of need, that we make good on that. So $1 per square foot and $1 for the easement is what is proposed. We've already had a recorded easement for the initial property, and that's in your packet. And so that was purchased, or it's recorded at $1.50 per square foot, but the new easement that would be formed and run through the new land exchange parcel would be $1.
Assembly Member Powell.
The dollar is in this agreement?
That's what we're doing, yeah.
There's 50 cent. 50 cent numbers in there occasionally too. That was one of my questions as
okay.
well.
Yeah.
So what?
Sorry.
I thought don't we have a motion?
Oh no, we don't. I'm sorry.
Oh,
no,
we don't have a motion.
No.
Okay. All right. So I will close the public hearing and entertain a motion.
Approval to move forward with the sale exchange of borough-owned real property described as a portion of parcel 7 ASLS 84-83 zone commercial adjacent to the Torgerson-Glasner subdivision based on the requesting purchaser granting utility easement acquisition on real property for the purpose of demonstrating borough site control for the water treatment plant improvement project.
Second.
Okay, so motion by Morrison, second by Powell. Thank you for reminding me about that. All right, now Assembly Member Powell.
So my idea is I don't have a problem with this. If we're selling land for $1 and purchasing the easement for $1, I don't have a problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the easement that we agreed to pay $1.50 for, I think that we need to do that. I mean, it's something we agreed to. I was going to say make the whole easement $1, but reading this thing, it's pretty much we already agreed to that.
Mm-hmm.
So if... Bob probably is going to speak to this, but there's too many numbers in here that just didn't jive with me. So, I mean, if we're going to say that we're selling the land for $1 and buying the easement for $1, I'm good with that.
This is the adjacent parcel we're talking about.
This is the one that we're selling. The one that you, or the one that we tentatively agreed to pay the $150. I don't see where our $150 a square foot. I don't see where we're going to get out of that.
$1.50.
I'm sorry. $1.50 a square foot.
Right.
I don't.
We've signed that.
I think we've already agreed to that.
Through the chair, yeah. The easement's been recorded. It's and it's a nominal amount of money difference. It's a $3,225 consideration for. About 2,150 square feet. So reducing it to a dollar is not that material for us.
Yeah. So, I mean, these numbers all correct. I'm not opposed to selling the land for a dollar a square foot and also purchasing the easement for a dollar a square foot.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Assembly Member Dalrymple.
Mason, I asked if you could present us with a map that showed the easement, because I'm still... I'm confused about this, but if I could, can I draw a sketch up here? Because it also goes to another question I have. In the, I think this is lot 7, but, you know, this is our big piece of property. And I don't know, there's some road and the water plant. And then the piece that he's requesting is just like that, maybe.
On the back of his property, yes.
That doesn't matter. I don't know where we're at on this. I don't have anything to go by. So I don't know where the easement is. I don't know where the easement pipeline is. And there's a trailer court here, you know, kind of in this area.
Mm-hmm.
So two things. If you could just show me where we're purchasing this easement.
I can actually show him.
Yeah.
Anybody. And then the other thing is I'm just wondering why we would not just clean this corner up. Because otherwise we're going to end up with a very odd, H-shaped.
So here is his property right now.
Okay.
This is the old road that went up to the old plant.
Okay.
That is the easement that we're talking about. And this is the piece of property that he wants to purchase. And this is where the other easement would be coming through. Is that correct?
Yeah, and I can show you the water line. The water line is basically between my two fingers right there.
Can you just draw it on here for me?
Yeah, so the water line just basically comes down the road.
Okay. And then with this easement, we have complete easement of all the pipeline we need.
Yep, that's correct.
Stuff wherever that goes to.
Yep, that's correct.
And my other, I don't know if it's a concern or not, but just want to bring everybody's attention, we would have this very odd shape here, and I'm just wondering if we ever looked at just finishing out this corner.
We never looked at that, and this was an offer that he came up with and we presented. I'm guessing maybe he doesn't want other access other than his access from that point, because that would kind of, you could potentially come in from the trailer park into that blocked off area on the whiteboard there. If you were to extend all the way into the corner, maybe that's not desirable to him. We could consider doing that if that's the will of the assembly.
Do you have this?
I have some.
All right, I'm good. Get control of the meeting.
You're talking about this one. Okay. I'm just showing him the map.
That's okay. There's another consideration that was brought up prior to this meeting, and that was the cost of the survey. Is that factored into his new option?
I can't recall off the top of my head right now. Kim, do you recall?
The original share of the survey for him was $1,891. So
I believe we were paying for the survey as originally agreed upon.
Okay, and at the last meeting we had his share of the survey, so it looks like we went in half and half.
Yeah, I'm not recalling off the top of my head on the survey. It was such a small amount, I didn't really think much of it.
Okay, so Assembly Member Dalrymple.
This is another kind of a point of confusion for me. Yeah, what one of these, somewhere in these numbers, there's a 50-50. And I know it's not much money, but quite a bit of this, it's not so much a concern about this particular land exchange and the benefit to the borough. It's more the precedents that we set. And to my knowledge, we've never paid for a survey ever when we're selling land to people. And again, I don't know if that's enough to make the difference on this or not, but my druthers, in a way, would be that he would pay for the survey costs.
I am looking at my notes, so we did agree upon to share the survey cost. That was the agreement to bring forward, but we can certainly establish a different precedent. All right.
Assembly Member Powell.
The only problem, I don't really have a problem with what Bob is saying, and the only problem I have is, I have to put you on the spot, I guess, but what did we tend to agree with him to bring forward to us? I know it's up to us to decide whether this is the best for us as the community, mm-hmm. but what did we, I mean, he, in good faith, gave us something mm-hmm. that he did not have to give us, okay? Mm-hmm. So somewhere along the line, we, in good faith, I believe that we should kind of work with him a little bit on what he's already given us.
Mm-hmm.
So, I agree with Bob that, because I've had the same question. We have never paid for a survey at all selling land, because someone else comes to the, I mean, I'm going to say a name out here, this is not a big deal, but Frank Werfel. He wanted that land. He had to pay for all of that stuff to have that land given to mm-hmm. him. And we didn't pay a penny for it. But in this circumstances, we also didn't need something.
We didn't right. gain anything
out. Yeah.
Right. So I kind of have a bad feeling about just saying no to him and over, because it does say in here that we are to split the cost with him, right. survey cost, yeah. and it's split. I mean, he could have held up our whole project, is what I look at.
Yeah.
So, in our good faith, with him having good faith with us, I feel that we should return that to him. You know, we've already said no to the 50 cents, but we've already came back with another agreement. I mean, if it's a dollar and a dollar, I'm happy with it.
And I would just clarify, too, like, this was... The obligation of ours was to bring this deal forward.
Correct.
It wasn't that we were going to absolutely get it done under the existing terms, because originally it was $1.50 and, you know, or 50 cents for the adjacent property, and then mm-hmm. $1.50 for the easement. There's nothing that says the assembly can't just pay him for the easement too. But I think that this is in the best interest moving forward. So
to summarize, giving the borough manager direction, we're going to sell that adjacent property at $1 per square foot, purchase the easement that we need at $1 per square foot, and split the survey.
And Madam Mayor, just also a clarification, we'll have a 4-week public notice period for this, and this is just approval to move forward in this direction, and then we'll have the final conveyance.
In the resolution.
So all your adjacent property owners will be notified mm-hmm. and all that stuff of
yes.
this happening?
Yeah.
And the original easement was given up or relinquished many, many years ago.
Yeah, there's an old Forest Service trail there, and when they pulled that off the plat, they also pulled off an easement. At least that's what we believe that it happened.
Yeah.
And here we are.
So we have to rectify this. Any other, did I summarize this correctly so that we can vote on the motion? All right, and you have good direction?
Yep.
All right, any other comment? All right, poll vote please.
Yes, Assembly Members Powell.
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. We have no unfinished business tonight and two items under new business. Item A, resolution number 02-24-1845 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending the Port and Harbor Fund
in the amount of $11,101 for metal roofing and parts purchase and authorizing its expenditure.
Move to approve resolution number 02-24-1845.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Morrison. Report, please.
Yep, so this is just a budget amendment for purchasing a metal roof for the harbor shack down there in an effort to get some of our maintenance of our facilities done. They're going to conduct that work in-house, but purchasing the materials here, it wasn't previously budgeted. The existing roof is 24 years old, and we think a metal roof will get a lot more life out of it in this environment. So excited to proactively approach maintenance. It's not like it's the roof's leaking and the building's falling apart, but it's due. So we're going to take care of it in-house.
And this is exactly what we asked you to do. Mm-hmm. It was address maintenance immediately. And I am thrilled to have this come before us, even though it's costing us money. A budget amendment through the Ports and Harbor Enterprise Fund. This is a good deal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and Assembly Member Morrison.
And Madam Mayor, this doing it now is actually less money than waiting until the roof leaks and you have to replace drywall. And so, yes, it's a good deal.
Where have we experienced that before? All right. Any other questions, comments? All right. Poll vote, please.
Yes. Assemblymembers Morrison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item B, resolution number 02-24-1846 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending FY 2024 budget in the Sewer and Streets Fund, transferring $32,995 sewer and to the amount of $16,497.50, and from the street funds to the tune of $16,497.50 from maintenance and supplies to the sewer fund capital expenditures line item for a crawler inspection camera and authorizing its expenditure.
Move to approve resolution number 02-24-1846.
Second.
All right. Motion by Powell, second by Morrison. And we have a very good explanation of what this does, and would you, Mr. Weider, like to come forward? And
while Tom's coming up really quick, I wanted to point out that this isn't typically an item that we'd have to bring before the Assembly because it's below the manager's threshold,
right.
But in the effort to be informative, it's related to one of our water treatment plant projects, but also there's a transfer from one enterprise fund to another that's not budgeted, so we felt it was best to bring this forward and show you what we got going on.
Great. Thank you. I don't have a ton to add other than what's in the report, but, you know, just a few things. One quote that was not included here was for an EnviroSight Rover X camera. That's actually the Sourcewell model, and that quote came in at like $97,000. So now some of those models, like the EnviroSight or like the Riesler that's in here, like there are some additional features like you can do get like slope analysis. It'll tell you the grade actually inside the pipe. That's a little bit excessive for what we need. And, you know, a number of other municipalities in the region have already implemented this style of camera. Ketchikan and Juneau already have one. Now, you know, I know Ketchikan's, I'm a little bit familiar with theirs. They have it mounted in the back of a truck with computer screens and everything else. We're not quite going that far. We're just looking to get the base camera basically and be able to, you know, take care of a couple of these water inspections that have to happen up at the water plant, which may seem confusing given the budget amendment. However, you know, keep in mind that part of the reason for that inspection is for a sewer application, and you know, 95% of the use of a camera like this is typically in sewers. The reason for that is because usually water mains are pressurized and there's no way to breach inside the pipe, whereas sewers, you got manholes and cleanouts and all kinds of other things that can drop the camera down. So that's kind of the way, the reason why it's been structured the way that it's been. So the model that we are looking at going with here, the Gemini 2 camera, comes in at $33,000, by far the cheapest option. This one still does have the raise up camera, so it does give us more flexibility down the road. And even if we bought the second crawler, you know, maybe in the next budget cycle or something like that, we'd still be at $45,000. I think our next best choice was going to be one of the Q's systems, which was about $52,000. So, you know, for the public or anybody listening in, we were going to spend considerable amount of money, probably $15,000 to $20,000, to mobilize somebody in to do these inspections that we need to. Our camera is a push camera. It's old and getting to be obsolete in some ways. Even a new simple camera of that status is, you know, close to $10,000. So we'd spend $25,000-$30,000 to do this inspection, and we'd have no follow-up down the road. So for us to be able to spend $33,000 and have that flexibility in the future, it's a good investment for us now. And, you know, another thing, the last thing I guess that I'll touch on from the report that I think is good to point out here is that, you know, we get a number of calls in a year for clogged sewers on people's properties. And, you know, we try to do the best we can to help people out and get them clear and everything. But if there's no clean out in the right of way, you know, Public Works is very limited in what we're able to do to ensure that the line is cleared on the homeowner's side. Because our responsibility, you know, ends at the right of way, ends at that stub out. And so, you know, it's unlikely that it's clogged in the last 2 or 3 feet right before the sewer main. But without a way to prove that, we're oftentimes finding ourselves, you know, helping people out to ensure that they've snaked it all the way to the main and following all those steps before we start digging up people's yards. Now, you know, a handful of those in a year that we're able to mitigate with a camera and things like that, save on time or having to dig up people's yards, you know, any other difference in expense would easily be made up in a couple of years of, you know, hopefully reducing the amount that we're digging up people's yards. So that's kind of the gist of it in a nutshell, and happy to entertain any questions.
Well, it's probably a good time to remind the public what not to put down drains.
Yeah, that is a great call. So, you know, a big problem we see is cooking grease and cooking oils. Those things solidify down in pipes. They cake, you know, the outside edges of it, and, you know, almost like a clogged artery, at some point it's going to get closed off and you're going to be backed up. And, you know, we spend a lot of time and effort to get those things cleared. But, you know, some other things, I think another real common one, wet wipes, paper towels, things like that aren't designed to degrade. Toilet paper is specifically made to disintegrate, essentially, in water. Even paper towels don't do that. Those are things that could foul pumps and get clogged further down the road. You know, as well, you know, we see a fair amount of, you know, needles, feminine hygiene products, and different things like that that make it through to the wastewater plant. And, you know, really anything like that should not be going flush down your toilet or down your drain. That, those things should be disposed of in the trash with your normal garbage.
Okay, thank you. Any questions? A lot of research on this. Assembly Member Powell.
Training.
Yes, so they will be able to do a lot of the programming and everything beforehand and get us set up. You know, I think it's possible that they can send someone here to do the training. They do have a lot of videos and a lot of resources developed. Like, here you go. Here's how you take this aspect of the machine apart to essentially set people up to do it as much as possible on their own. And the other thing that I talked about, you know, and I'd say again, that's some of the difference in the price. I think some of the other companies had a little bit more personal approach, and these guys have basically said, like, listen, if there's ever an issue with it, you mail it down to us, we'll get it fixed, we'll get it sent back up to you guys. So, you know, that's probably a little bit of the difference in price as well, but, you know, my understanding is they have a lot of resources and a lot of videos to be able to allow us to be able to fix as much of it as possible, and really thing... really anything in addition or outside of that, we would mail it down to them and get fixed.
And I've gone on their website. And
oh, okay. So the question, the only other question I had is, this thing gets down to 600 foot down there or wherever it can go to. What happens if it stops down there? Is this something that you just pull back or?
Yeah, I mean, the nice thing is it'll be on a cable, so.
If you just pull it out of there.
Yeah, we should, okay. Unless it got, you know, hung up in there somehow, we should be able to retrieve it without having to actually go dig. You know, I know that this one, it does have like a line counter and things, so we'd be able to walk from the inception point, you know, 453 feet down, and it should be right there.
Well, that's good, because that was going to be my next question. How do you know where it's at?
Well, and the nice thing about that is, you know, okay, we drop it down in a manhole, and we're checking services along the way. Like, you know, a lot of times, like, when we're trying to find breaks, like, it's staff intuition and their experience of just how water comes through the ground in different places, depending on what's there. And usually they get pretty close, but sometimes you're 5 feet off, and you got to remove another panel or something like that. Like, at least with regards to any sewer main breaks, this should be able to tell us it's right here. Like, it should be able to get us within 2 feet, basically.
And Assembly Member Morrison?
I just want to know when the movie's going to hit the theater.
I don't know how much you want to see that movie, but that's part of the point of having the raised camera. And I was looking at getting one that didn't have that, because you could save a couple thousand. But part of the problem there is, like, if your camera, if there's wastewater in there,
right,
it kind of follows up your view. So they make the camera basically so that it raises up so you can get up above that and hopefully see. So, yeah, I'm not sure how much people will want to watch that movie. But if anybody's interested, they can come on down to the Public Works office, and I'd be happy to roll through some of that footage with them.
No pictures either.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get back to normal assembly. Any other questions? All right, poll vote, please.
Yes, Assembly Members Morrison?
Yes.
Davenport?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes.
Sorry.
And we are adjourning at 8:12 p.m. Thank you, Assembly.